Hello, everybody. I'm Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, pastor of Saddleback Church in California, and teacher on the Daily Hope broadcast. Welcome to this special series of messages that I have created to encourage you during this global COVID-19 virus pandemic. Now, we don't know how long this is going to last, but these messages are going to deal with the issues and the questions and the emotions that you're going to face in the days ahead. So I hope that you'll join me every week in this series. Now, you know, when the pandemic first hit, I immediately thought of two Bible verses. The first one was Psalm 23, verses 1 and 4. One of the most famous passages in the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because you are with me." I'm titling this message, "A Faith That Walks Through the Valley of Virus," because God promises to take us through the valley of virus and to meet our needs if we trust Him. And He promises to walk through with us everything we're going to go through in the days ahead. Now, the second verse that I thought of was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that says this, "We walk by faith, not by sight." You know, another antidote to fear is to keep our eyes on Him, on God, not on our circumstances around us. Corrie ten Boom once said, "If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." And the key to calmness and the key to confidence and the key to courage in this crisis is faith. That's why I'm going to take you through a series of messages and studies that I'm calling "A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't." A faith that doesn't work when life doesn't work is worthless. But this is a faith that works when life doesn't. Now, because we're all sheltering at home these days, I'm going to be teaching these messages from my farm as weather permits. This is not a green screen. This is actually my farm. Now, if we have bad weather, I'm going to be teaching some sessions from my garage. But that's where we are at my farm. Now, there's a book in the Bible that is especially relevant to our situation today. It's called the Book of James. It's a short book. It's only 5 chapters. It's 108 verses, but it's jam-packed with practical advice for people in a crisis. And it covers every possible emotion that you will likely feel during this corona or COVID-19 virus pandemic. And it gives us practical principles from the Bible for living during a pandemic. Now, I can't protect you from the COVID-19 disease, but I can teach you how to avoid the dis-ease. The dis-ease. That's all of the negative emotions that you're inevitably going to feel during this pandemic. I'm talking about emotions like anxiety, fear, loss, grief, loneliness, irritability, feeling short-tempered when you're having to stay at home all the time, restlessness from staying at home. The first 6 messages through the book of James that we're going to look at will deal with these personal emotions in your life. Then the next 6 messages in James deal with how a crisis affects your relationships. So first we deal with your emotions, then we're going to deal with your relationships during a crisis. And that's what the book of James teaches us, how to trust God in different areas of our lives. The last section deals with trusting God in specific areas, like in our finances, or in our future, or in our health. It's going to be a very practical series. And the Bible teaches us what to remember, what to feel, what to do, what to be when we are in a crisis and under stress. Now, as we get started, I want you to know that I've created an outline for each of these messages in this series. And it's available to you. And it'll help you follow along. It'll help you take notes, help you to remember more. And it's got all of the Bible verses that I'll be teaching and you'll be looking at in each session. So you can also use this outline as a discussion guide for small group discussions with your friends. Now, how do you get it? You can download the free outline from the saddleback.com website in the watch section, saddleback.com. But here's literally a more convenient way. If you'll just email me and tell me you want all the outlines in this series, I will automatically email you the next one each week. All you need to do is email me, PastorRick@Saddleback.com. Pastor Rick, one word, at Saddleback.com, and say, I want the outlines. And if you want to pause the video right now, you can download the outline for this message right now from Saddleback.com. Now, in this introductory message, we're not going to dig into the book of James yet. We're going to start that in part two. But I do want to read just the very first book. The very first verse. James chapter 1, verse 1. This letter is from James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of God's people who have been scattered everywhere in the world. Greetings. Now, you might not know what that's all about, but if you notice the word scattered, you circle that word if you're taking notes. Why were God's people scattered? James is writing to people in a crisis. And the crisis that James is writing about is not a pandemic, it's persecution. When he's writing this book, people were being evicted from their homes. They were being killed for their faith by the Roman Empire. It's a scary time to be alive. And people were dying everywhere, and you could lose your life for being a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why he wrote this book, the book of James, to encourage them. Now that's what I want to do with you in this entire series. And the first emotion we're going to deal with today is the emotion of fear. What is the antidote to fear? Somebody said fear is spelled F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Fear, F-E-A-R. So you replace fear, false evidence appearing real, with facts and with faith. And what I want to just do today in this introductory message is give you six truths to remember that are going to reduce your faith, reduce your fears and build your faith. All right? So you might want to write them down. Number one, the first thing to remember in a crisis is this. Remember that not everything you hear is true. Not everything you hear is true. Proverbs 14, verse 15 in the Message paraphrase says this. The gullible believe anything they're told, but the prudent sift and weigh every word. Not everybody who speaks on the internet or the social media or TV or radio knows what they're talking about. And during this pandemic, not everybody who's talking is worth listening to. You're going to have to be selective because there are many people who are going to have their own agenda for this crisis. There'll be some people try to use this crisis for a political advantage, and they're going to use conspiracy theories and blame and fault finding. Other people try to use this crisis for financial advantage. They're going to price gouge. They're going to offer fake remedies. And I just want to warn you, as somebody who loves you, don't fall for any solution online. Ignore them all. If it's true, you'll hear about it from everybody. Just don't look for an advertisement or some email that you get. Proverbs 13, 16 says, the prudent man always acts out of knowledge. That's why you got to know the truth. Now, in the Bible, God repeatedly says over and over, especially in a crisis, you should always base your decisions and actions on the facts, not the fakes, not the fallacies, not faulty statistics, not fads, not fantasies, not fake news, not false reports, and definitely not your fears nor your feelings, because feelings are highly unreliable and fears never help. So let me show you some verses from the Bible, from the Living Bible Translation, about why you need to get the facts. Proverbs 18, 13, Living Bible. What a shame. Yes, it is a folly to decide before knowing the facts. Proverbs 18, verse 2, a foolish person doesn't care about the facts. All he wants to do is yell. That sounds like social media. Proverbs 14, verse 8, the wise man looks ahead, but the foolish man attempts to fool himself, and he won't face the facts. Proverbs 23, verse 23, get the facts at any price and hold on tightly to good sense. So here's the first thing you need to remember is not everything you hear is true. Not everything you hear is true. Now, what do we know that is true about this virus? Well, scientists and experts tell us a lot of things. We know that the COVID-19 virus is what's called a novel virus. Now, what is a novel virus? Well, that means several things. It means, number one, there's no known human immunity to this virus. That's a novel virus. Number two, there's currently no known cure for it. That's a novel virus. Three, there's no vaccine for it. That's a novel virus. Number four, it appears to be about many, many times more deadly than the flu virus. We don't know how many times more deadly. Number five, you can have this virus without any symptoms and still pass it on to other people. That's a novel virus. Number six, it's spread through droplets in the air, and on some surfaces, depending on what the surface is, it lasts for a day or two or three days. Number seven, not everyone is at risk equally with this virus. The most vulnerable people are those who are over 60 years of age with some kind of pre-existing condition that weakens their immunity. I'm talking about stuff like diabetes, or heart disease, or cancer, or upper respiratory problems. These are the people we need to care about most in protecting during this pandemic, those who are most vulnerable. And as long as we don't have a cure and we don't have a vaccine, it's going to be a threat. So this may take a long time, and we're going to have to be ready to be patient during this pandemic. But that leads me to the second truth you need to remember. Number two, remember that this will pass. This will pass. It's not going to last, but it will be over one day. It's gonna be here for a while, but it's not gonna be here forever. But God says, don't be surprised by it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says this: Dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked when you go through painful trials and fiery tests in life. Now, when you see a pandemic like this, people always ask, why is there illness on this planet? Well, the answer is because since evil and sin entered the world, nothing works perfectly. Everything on this planet is broken. The weather is broken. The economy is broken. Your plans are broken. They never work perfectly. Relationships are broken. Your body is broken. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Your brain, your body. Sin has broken everything on earth. The Bible tells us this in Isaiah 24, verses 5 and 19. It says, the earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted the instructions of God and violated his laws and broken his covenant. Therefore, the earth has broken down and has utterly collapsed. Everything is lost, abandoned, and confused. That's the Bible talking about earth. You say, well, Rick, if sin and evil causes all of the pain and suffering in the world, why is there sin and evil in the world? Why doesn't God just wipe it all out? Why does God allow sin and evil? Well, because God allows us a free choice. God could eliminate all the sin on earth. He could eliminate all the evil on earth, just get rid of us. Horses aren't evil. Cows aren't sinful. We're the ones who make the bad choices. Our greatest privilege, free choice, is also our greatest threat because we make bad choices. I don't always make the right choice. I do things that hurt me, hurt other people, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. God could get rid of all the problems on earth by getting rid of our freedom of choice, but then we'd just be puppets. God wanted a group of people who choose to love him. And you can't say you love God unless you have the choice to not love him. You can live your entire life not loving God. He gives you that choice. But it causes the world to be broken down. People who are expecting this planet to be perfect and to have no problems are expecting heaven on earth. That's not going to happen. That's why we're to pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because in heaven, God's will is done perfectly, done completely, done instantly, and done all the time. None of that's true on earth. God's will is done imperfectly with often wrong motives. It's done seldom. It's done impartially. And so as a result, we have sickness and sadness. In heaven, there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more suffering, and also no more sin, which is the cause of it all. Now, we need to remember that it's not going to last. Here's the third thing I want you to remember during this pandemic, what the Bible says. Remember to focus on what's unchanging. Remember to focus on what is unchanging. In the weeks ahead, there's going to be a lot of changes in the economy, in how we do life, in your routine. There are going to be a lot of changes. There have already been many changes in your life. The key to stability when everything around you is changing is to focus on what doesn't change, to focus on the eternal, to focus on unchangeable truth. That's going to give you stability. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 in the Bible says this, "For our temporary and momentary troubles," that's what these are, temporary and momentary troubles. "They are temporary and momentary troubles, will not last." You can count on that. No virus lasts forever. It's always a curve, a bell curve. "They will not last, but they are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." So here's the key. We focus not on what is seen. That's all the stuff around us, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's what you need to focus on when everything's around you is changing. Focus on what's eternal and unchanging. What eternal, unchanging truth should you focus on during this COVID-19 crisis? Well, let me just give you some truths that are never going to change. Number one, God sees everything you're going through. He sees it all. Number two, God cares about everything you're going through. Number three, God has the power to answer prayer and give you the strength through what you're going through. Number four, God always acts out of his goodness to me. He is always good to you. Number five, God's plan for your life is always better than your own plan. These are unchanging truths. Another one is God will never stop loving me. You can't make God stop loving you. You could try, but you'll fail because God's love is eternal. It's based on who he is, not who you are. It's not based on your performance, based on his character. And then I cannot lose my salvation once I have trusted in Christ. I might lose my income. I might lose my health. I might lose my family. I might lose my mind, but I cannot lose my salvation. If I put my hand in his, he's not letting go, even if I wanted to let go. These are the things to remember. Remember that we need to focus on stuff that's never going to change. Here's the fourth thing to remember. Remember that no matter what I go through, God will go through it with me. You're absolutely never alone in life. You may feel alone, but God's presence is not a feeling. At every stage of your life, God will be with you. God will always be with me, no matter what I go through during this pandemic. And we don't know what the days ahead hold, but you're not going to go through any of it on your own. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 says this, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. It will not consume you." Why? Because God is with me. Number five, remember, this is not the end of the story. You know, I've read the last chapter of the Bible, and this isn't how it ends. So you don't have to worry about that. I remember years ago, do you remember that TV show called 24? And it seemed like every episode ended in a cliffhanger. Is Jack Bauer going to die in this episode? And it always left it. And then, you know, I discovered, I didn't watch it while it was on TV. I waited till all the seasons were over so I could watch it without commercials. But when I started the series, I realized there are six more seasons after this. He's not going to die. You know, the tension goes down when you know the end of the story. And that's what you can do in facing this pandemic. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 and verse 14 say this, "You know, we often suffer, but we're never crushed. And even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And we get knocked down, but we get up again. We're knocked down, but we're not knocked out. Why? Because we know that God raised the Lord back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, He'll raise us back to life, and he'll bring us into his presence together to live with hope in the middle of pain. You have to focus on what is never changing. You got to change your focus. You have to shift your perspective, and you have to live in light of eternity. This stuff is always changing around us. We don't know what the future holds with this pandemic, but we do know who holds the future. And we do know that this is not the end of the story. One day, all of our grief and pain are going to end. There is no sorrow in heaven, no suffering in heaven, no sickness in heaven, no sadness in heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 4, then God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning, no more crying, no more pain, for the old order of things will pass away. This is not the end of the story. We have confidence no matter what we're going through. We know how the story ends. Finally, number six, another thing to remember as we start this series together is remember that God wants to use me to help others. Yes, God wants to comfort you. Yes, God wants to save you. Yes, God wants to help you through these tough times, but he also wants to use you to help others. And in the days ahead, you're going to be given an opportunity like no other opportunity you've had in your lifetime, an opportunity to love your neighbors yourself. And in the weeks ahead, as we look at this book of James, James is going to get very, very specific about how to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the time to outshine the darkness. You know that centuries ago, in fact, in the second century and the third century after Christ, there were two different plagues that swept through the Roman Empire. In both of those cases, Christian believers moved into action to serve the people in those pandemics, to serve people in fear, to serve people in pain, to serve people in sickness and in loneliness. It was during that time, the second and third century, that Christians, the church, invented the hospital. Did you know that government didn't invent the hospital? Business didn't invent the hospital. The church did. That's why most hospitals are called St. Mary's and St. Mark's and St. Matthew's, because Christian missionaries started the first hospital in every nation of the world. We now have an opportunity to serve like that again. James is going to give us some ideas in the days ahead of how to help your neighbor, how to help the people around you. Now, this is just an introductory message. And in closing, I just want to give you five personal promises that I promise to do for you if you'll become a part of this series. Number one, I promise that you're not going to be alone. We're going to face this pandemic together. Number two, I promise to help you stay healthy spiritually during this time. As I said, I can't keep you from the disease, but I can keep you from the dis-ease if you'll do what God says to do. Number three, I promise to help you that if you'll let us know your needs, we will help you. Number four, I promise that we will bring you meaningful worship experiences while during this time you're not able to attend a worship service at a church. And finally, I promise that I'll show you ways that you can serve your neighbors and share the good news with them like never before. Now, to get the most out of this series, you're going to need to do two things. First, recommit your life to Christ, or give your life to Christ for the very first time. And number two, join a small group. First, let's recommit our lives to Jesus right now. Would you bow your heads and let me pray with you and pray for you? Bow your head and just say something like this. Dear Jesus Christ, just say that. Dear Jesus Christ, I don't know what the future holds, but I know you hold the future. And as I face this pandemic, I'm trusting my life to you. As much as I know how, I want to follow you. I want to trust you. I want to go your direction. I want you to be the Lord of my life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, would you let me know about it? Would you let me know about it? If you will just take your phone and right now text New Start, one word, N-E-W-S-T-A-R-T, New Start to 99,000. I will send you some information that will help you start growing in your new faith. Congratulations. If you live outside of the United States, you can email me, newstart@saddleback.com. Let me know about your decision to trust Christ with your life in this pandemic time, okay? The second thing you need to do is to get involved in an online small group. The church I pastor, Saddleback, is a church of small groups. We have over 9,000 small groups that meet every week. And they met in homes until we couldn't do that anymore, so now we all meet online. If you're not in a small group, you don't have the support you need through this pandemic. So to join an online support group, we'll help you. You need to text me. Text small group, one word, SMALLGROUP, small group to 99,000. I'll help you get in a small group. We've helped thousands of people get in a small group online with other people. If you live outside of the United States, then you need to email me, smallgroup@saddleback.com. Smallgroup@saddleback.com. I'm very excited about this series through the book of James, A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, because we're going to look at the principles that will help you not just survive, but thrive in this pandemic. I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you.